man. He was really strong. He liked to throw his weight around. He liked to show off his strength. And he also used to wind up and poke fun at the older builders, the one who are nearing the end of their career, you know, the wise ones, the ones who have been round the block. He thought he was better than them. He liked to show off. And one day there was a wheelbarrow full of bricks, really heavy, that needed to be taken across the construction site. And he decided that it was time. Tom thought, well, he started taunting these older guys. You know, there's no way now that you'd be able to push that wheelbarrow of bricks across the site. Well, one of the older guys was getting a bit fed up with Tom, getting a bit fed up with his attitude. So he went and got an empty wheelbarrow, and he said to Tom, I bet I can fill this wheelbarrow with something so heavy, and I can push it across the site, and you won't be able to push it back. Well, Tom laughed, of course. He laughed in his face. I bet you a week's pay I can, you silly old man, he said to him. So holding the empty wheelbarrow, the old guy says to Tom, all right, big guy, you jump in. Sinking in, got it. Wisdom. Older man had some wisdom in how to respond. I wonder if you ever long for wisdom. I do. I long for wisdom. Because actually wisdom wins every time, doesn't it? It does. So just a little moment for you to think back over this past week. I wonder how many times you have faced a moment, face something where you have needed wisdom. Maybe a circumstance at work with a difficult colleague, or you want to buy a new car, or bringing up children, lots of wisdom needed there. Or you're thinking about moving home or changing career, or for some of our young people this week taking exams. We might have lots of knowledge, but knowledge doesn't necessarily make us wise, does it, when we need it? So here's a little example. We know that the dual carriageway just here is a 40 mile an hour limit. But when it's tipping down with snow and you can't see in front of you, wisdom says, although I can drive at 40 miles an hour, I'd choose to drive much slower. So wisdom is making the right choice, isn't it, when there's no law that explicitly tells us what to do in that moment. Wisdom is making wise decisions in difficult circumstances. Well, today we're going to be looking at the letter of James. So if you have a Bible with you, I really encourage you to turn to it. James is in the New Testament. If I hold up my Bible, you can see how far into the New Testament it is. If you can find Hebrews, James comes just after Hebrews. So if you have a Bible, it would be great to follow. James starts his letter like this. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. These people that James is writing to are scattered because of persecution. They know what trials and difficulties feel like. And so James is writing this letter to them because he wants to help them work out, to tease out, to look at how their faith works out when you're under trials, when things are tough. So let's have a read, shall we, of James chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe, not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Did you notice right at the top there, James says, whenever you face trials. He didn't say if you face trials, but whenever. The Bible is so realistic. I love the Bible. It's so down to earth. The Bible knows that we face trials. Times of struggle and difficulty will always come. They might be big, they might be small. You might not be in that place now, but you can guarantee at some point you will. We know that that is life. In fact, even Jesus said to his disciples, you will have troubles. Trials, difficulties are not a choice, are they? But we do have a choice how we respond to them. And I think what James wants us to do here is to understand that we don't just have to go through trials, which we do, but actually there's a way to grow through trials. So have a think about the last trial that you faced, however big or small. Well, I'll just let you into a little secret. I had a very silly little trial. As you know, I just got back off holiday. And when we arrived on holiday at the airport, and you know, you wait for your luggage to arrive. Oh no, yes. So I stood there and round the cases went, and the cases gradually got collected, and no, mine didn't come. Now, I know lots of you have probably been in that situation. I don't travel abroad very often, so I didn't. Yeah, anyway, you know, a niggle, a silly example. But we all go through trials. How did I respond? Well, I was pretty fed up to start with. It was very hot and I didn't have my swimming costume. But there we go. 2 days later, it did eventually arrive. Did I ask for wisdom? No. No, I didn't. I thought, how on the earth can I get through this? Thankfully, I had my sister with me, so that was good. But when we get, it's a silly example, but when we get to those difficult moments, do we think, how do I get through this? Or how do I grow through this? So we're beginning, as Chris said, a new teaching series today, and we're going to be unpacking how prayer shapes us. We're going to be looking at how spending time with God, what we call prayer, can change us and transform us. Isn't that amazing? Do you think of prayer like that? Or do you think more about prayer being a shopping list of requests? Well, I come to God, I ask him for this, I ask him for that. Or it's an emergency lifeline where we only call out when we're in trouble. What we're going to discover as we think about prayer that shapes us, that prayer is actually an opportunity to deepen a very precious relationship with the creator of the universe, that he wants to shape us and mold us and change us as we spend time with him. And as Chris said, we're looking at praying for wisdom. So we're going to focus in James 1 and verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, I imagine that most of us might well have taken a deep breath when I read those words, consider it pure joy. When you face trials, that's not easy, is it? Do we do that? It's a challenge. I've really enjoyed looking at J.B. Phillips, who writes a paraphrase of the New Testament, and he says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Yeah, can you imagine welcoming that tough season in life as a friend? It's challenging, isn't it? Well, James isn't saying that we should relish and seek pain. He doesn't say that we should celebrate and be happy when we have tough times. Rather, what he's doing is he's revealing and underlining that there's a purpose to be found when we go through those testing and difficult times. Because through testing, we are on a journey. We're on a process of becoming mature and complete. We're on a journey of becoming the person that God created us to be. In fact, he uses the words whole and perfect. We're on a journey to become more like Jesus, our Savior. And who doesn't want to be a better version of yourself? Who doesn't want to be the best we can be? We all do, don't we? But we tend to like the easy route. We don't like the route that takes us through pain and suffering. So how do we persevere? How do we see those times of suffering, those times of trials? You might even be in one right now. How do we see them differently? Well, James says by receiving wisdom, godly wisdom, a new perspective, a godly perspective. Wisdom that God so generously, James says, wants to give us so that we can persevere in those difficult times. So how do we receive this wisdom? Well, it's very simple. We ask God. I wonder what you do when you don't know what to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Again, think back to that difficult time. How much time did you spend worrying? Honestly, I think we all do, don't we? It's a difficult time. How am I going to handle this? We go through it in our minds. Maybe some of us don't sleep because we're anxious and worried. We're going through it, trying to figure it out. I wonder how long, 12 hours, 24 hours of thinking it through, pondering, talking to friends. I wonder at what point we choose to look up and talk to God about what is happening. To look up, to talk to God, to pray, means we have to accept that we can't. That we can't do life on our own, doesn't it? Prayer is admitting, actually, that we are dependent upon God. It's admitting that I don't know. And I did want, as I was thinking about this, did wonder why we all find it so hard to ask for help, don't we? Are you one of those? Well, we value our independence, don't we? We value individuality. We value self-sufficiency. And I wonder, even as Christians, those who know God, we are not very good at relinquishing our pride and admitting to God that we need him. I wonder, as a bit of a challenge, how often we go to God as a last resort rather than as our first priority. But James says, come, ask God. It's that simple. It is that simple. But we often make prayer so complicated, don't we? We think we can't just come into God's presence. We need to try our best first. We need to put our best foot forward. We can't just blunder in. But here's the simple truth. If you're going through a difficult time in your life and if you don't know what to do, James says, look up. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you a godly perspective on what you're facing. And then James wants to unpack why. Why we can ask God? Well, because he's generous. God is generous. Do you know what? It's in God's nature to give. To give and to give and to give. So when we go to God and say, God, we need your wisdom, he's never going to say, come back tomorrow. I don't really feel like being a generous God today. I've got too many other things to think about. God's not going to ever say that to us. He is always, always a giving God. And I wonder if that sometimes, that faulty thinking affects the way we approach God. Does that faulty thinking stop us from boldly coming and asking God for wisdom? I wonder if our view of God sometimes is so kind of skewed. We think he's stingy and closed-fisted. Or James, he just wants to blow that out of the water this morning to us and say, no, this is our God is a generous, generous God. And then I don't know if you noticed, but there's two little words that come after that. To all. God is generous to all. There's no limitations, no exclusion, no favoritism. No particular mark you have to meet first. No, God is generous to all. And that word generously, it means single-minded, wholehearted, undivided. God doesn't, as I said, isn't conflicted about whether he should give something or not, whether he should give wisdom or not. He is sold out on that promise to give wisdom as we ask for it. And as I thought about the generosity of God, God's giving heart, I couldn't help thinking of that wonderful verse in John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That God gave his only son. God gave everything he had for us so that we could be in relationship with him. That is our giving God. Why do we doubt him? And then James goes on to say, without finding fault. Again, the paraphrase J.B. Phillips says, who gives generously to all without making them feel foolish or guilty. You know, when we come to God, he won't mock us for asking. He's not going to make fun of us when we go and ask for wisdom. He's not going to tell us off that we didn't know better or we couldn't work it out for ourselves. He's just longing, as our Heavenly Father, that we go to him and we ask. And I wonder who maybe among us needs to hear this today. We don't need to come to God fearful or anxious that he's going to ignore us or that he will not answer. The invitation is to come and to ask. So isn't that amazing news for you this morning? If you're floundering, if you're struggling with something in life, God gives wisdom generously. No questions asked, nothing withheld. He just wants us to receive. Wisdom will be given every single time. But as we said, and I think it's important that we read that verse within the context of which it was written, because it's related to those verses. The wise person, the one who asks God for wisdom, is able to see life with purpose, is able to see from a godly perspective, just as James explains in verses 2-4. And the wise person will understand that we are actually in a process. There's a process to our trials, to our struggles, that teaches us perseverance. And from perseverance, we build character and we become whole. So the person who asks for wisdom then will be able to make decisions as they endure pain, knowing, and I think this is so important and so good to hold on to, that it's never wasted. Our difficult times are never wasted because God is at work. And it's a process towards maturity, that one day we will be like him. One day we will be complete and lacking nothing, shaped into the image of our Saviour. I read as I was reading through the week a Christian who wrote this: wisdom is that perception or insight or discernment or quality of mind that enables the Christian to confront and submit to life's hardships with attitudes and actions consistent with God's will. That's what happens when we ask God for wisdom. We get that insight, that discernment to understand that God is at work. It's the God-given ability to make the scattered, chaotic, and seemingly senseless trials and afflictions of life and understand them as God's way of producing Christian maturity. I wonder what scattered, chaotic, and seemingly senseless trials or difficulties you might be facing just now. There's this wonderful invitation. Ask God for wisdom to help you as you journey through. I just wanted to share a bit of a simple example of this working out in someone's life this week. It's a privilege sometimes to receive emails really encouraging us of the sermon series that we've been on, and I know a lot of us are really blessed by the Ephesians sermon series, and I asked the permission of the person who sent this if I could just share what they shared with us. And I've abridged it, I've made it shorter, so it's, but it's a wonderful story. I live in a road where street parking is particularly difficult. Coming back from a trip out this morning, I could not find a single space to park. But I did see a double space with someone having parked right across the two spaces, which meant I couldn't park my car there. Now, my initial reaction was my old self. Just for a moment, I was really annoyed. We can sympathise with that, can't we? And found myself wishing I had a pen and paper so that I could leave a note on their windscreen about how they had parked without any consideration for anyone else. But just then, as if prompted by the Holy Spirit, I remembered Dave's talk from a few weeks ago about putting off the old self and being renewed in the attitude of your mind. And I let it go, feeling peace immediately and asking God to bless the driver. Isn't that brilliant? Whoever they were. And I drove off, parked my car in an hour's slot around the corner. After my hour was up, I returned to my car. And the car sat on the double space, just happened to be leaving at the right time so that I got a space to park. This is a beautiful example. If we allow ourselves to be open to God, God speaking to us. I guess this guy probably didn't ask for wisdom in that moment. But knowing God's at work in those difficult situations, whether they be large or small, changes how we respond when we have God's wisdom at work within us. God shaping us and making us. And a beautiful picture there of how God at work in somebody's life. Just as I close, I just want to say that James is in no way minimalizing or belittling suffering. And I think it's really important that we hear that this morning. His heart, and I hope you hear his heart in this letter, is actually about unpacking how we put our faith into practice when we are in those difficult times. What James is doing is he's offering us a depth of purpose, isn't he? He's offering us a bigger picture, a different perspective. He longs that we would know that wisdom that is on offer to us so that we can be in a deeper relationship with the one who is the source of all wisdom. So I wonder, as we draw to a close, how this might help James's advice to ask for wisdom, how that might reframe whatever you might be facing at the moment. I wonder if you're ready to look up. I wonder if you're ready to look up whatever it is that you're facing right now, to look up and pray, to speak to God about it, to allow him to do a deeper work in you and through you because of what you're facing. Allowing God to mould you and shape you as you pray to him and bring it to him, as you ask for wisdom that he so just can't wait to give you, to help you see. But James goes on, don't doubt. Don't doubt God's goodness, because he is all you need right now. He's all you need right now, and he won't ever fail you. So excited that Lily's going to be baptised in a few moments' time. I know lots of us are here and excited about seeing Lily go into the water here. Lily is standing up and telling us that she is a follower of Jesus, and she's going to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. Baptism shows us and reminds us that Jesus faced the deepest and darkest suffering when he died on the cross. And in that cross, in the cross, we see how God defeats the hold of sin and death, that God turns the worst possible pain into the greatest triumph. That's what Jesus has done for us. And he can do that again in our lives if we ask him for the wisdom to see him at work. Because of all Jesus has done, our hope lies beyond our pain and our suffering. Jesus has shown us a way through, and our invitation today, maybe you don't know Jesus, maybe for the first time, this is an offer for you to submit and surrender to him and help him and ask him to help you make sense of all that you're facing. Or maybe if you're a Christian here, it's time again for us to submit and surrender to God, to discover again that God is just waiting for us to come to him and ask him for wisdom. Because as we do, and I'm sure there'll be lots of testimonies here to this, we do find that peace. We do find that hope is renewed. We do find that deep joy that is promised. And above all, as we sang just before we came to the message, we discover that we are deeply, deeply loved by the one who gave everything for us. Shall we just take a moment of quiet, and while the band come and join us, and then I'll pray.